Senate will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson,
here.
Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Ferger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
We need two more senators. A quorum being present, we'll post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Bates. Our invocation today is from Senator Morse from Albany.
Last Friday's Ted Winters Memorial Tree Dedication reminds me of the words attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. And how should we define the gospel? It is simply the good news of love, redemption, and reconciliation. Good news for troubled lives in a troubled world. Let us pray. God of love, God of redemption, God of reconciliation, we pray that our actions will speak far more eloquently than our words, that what we do will have far greater import than what we say. We recognize, O God, that in this legislative assembly, we live in a world of words, written as well as spoken. May our words, which we know as statutes and which find their definition in rules and regulations, may the words of our legislative action become deeds which find favor in your sight. For each of us in our own way and through our collective actions, may what we do lead us all into a better place, where love is the first order of business, where redemption and reconciliation become the third readings of every day. We ask for your strength each day to be agents of good news, the good news of love, the good news of redemption, the good news of reconciliation, that our actions become blessings for all, and that our state will be a better place for what we have done here in this place. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who showed us the way. Amen.
Courtesies of the Senate. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam President. Justin Hildreth is at my desk this morning. Justin is Gail's brother. Justin and his family are cattle ranchers from Montana. They came to visit, and they're in the Capitol this morning to tour the Capitol and to watch our government in action. So please extend courtesy of the Senate to Mr. Justin Hildreth.
Welcome to the Senate. We're happy that you're here and being with Senator Whitsitt, and I hope you enjoy your stay here. Remonstrances. Senator Morse.
Return to courtesies, please.
Without objection, please do so.
Thank you, Madam President. I would ask that Senator Metzger, Senator Bonamici, Senator Cruz join with me at the desk of the good senator from Raleigh Hills. We would like to formally acknowledge the leadership of Senator Mark Hass for his genuine outreach to our committee, and I say that in a sense of our committee, because that is the way that the good senator chose to lead the Senate Education General Government Committee. And so we would like to present this plaque to him in appreciation for his leadership. Your inclusive leadership in our committee is greatly appreciated. Senator Mark Hass, thank you.
We're still in courtesies. Senator Walker?
No, I thought we were in remonstrances.
Okay, we'll go back to remonstrances. Senator Walker.
Okay. Yeah, I would jump the gun. Well, I'm so excited. I am so excited, and I hope that my good Senate colleague from Pendleton listens up. There was an article in this morning's Register Guard. I actually still read a newspaper. Please read your newspaper. Keep my husband employed. The Register Guard. Farmers focus on having cows burp less. The goal is to reduce the greenhouse gas that cows belch. This was just absolutely fascinating, colleagues. So Vermont dairy farmers Tim, Micah Shiloh, and Kirsten Dellert, well, I butchered that, but never mind, mindful of shrinking their carbon footprint, have changed their cow's diet to reduce the amount of gas the animals burp, dairy cows' contribution to global warming. Coventry Valley Farm is one of the 15 Vermont farms working with Stonyfield Farm, Inc., whose yogurt is made with their organic milk to reduce the cow's intestinal methane by feeding them flaxseed, alfalfa, and grasses high in omega-3 fatty acids. This is funny. The gas cow's belch is the dairy industry's biggest greenhouse gas contributor, research shows, most of it emitted from the front and not the back end of the cow. And here's a quote from one of the dairy farmers that I'll leave with you this morning. I just figured a cow was a cow, and they were going to do whatever they were going to do in terms of cow things for gas, said Dellert. Colleagues, here's our answer. Had I known greenhouse gas, the problem lied with dairy cows, we would have introduced a bill long ago, earlier in the session, and we could have avoided all of this problem about climate change. So go cows, eat better diet, burp less. Thank you so much.
Message from the House.
Madam President, Madam Speaker, he has signed House Bills 2074, 2084, 2228, 2700, 2739, 2895, and 3487.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 131 and number 132 were distributed to members today. This information will be recorded to the journal and status report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. We are going to move to the foot of the calendar, and we're going to recognize our Senator Farioli. Do you want to go anywhere right now?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to go to the Bahamas for about a week and take the entire body. But, Madam President, I will settle for 15 minutes in the Republican caucus room.
All right. Thank you, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam President, Senate colleagues. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus.
All right. We will have a 15-minute caucus for the senators, Republicans and Democrats. Recess till 10:15. The Senate will come to order, or we are going to resume. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munoz-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. President Courtney.
We need one more senator. A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under propositions and motions and will resume under that order. So ordered. Recognize Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 76.
Senator Dingfelder moves that, well, state the reason why you want to do that.
Madam President, there was a couple of amendments made on the House side.
Hold it. We have to put the motion before the body.
I'll repeat that. I move that the Senate concur in the House to the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 76.
Okay, Senator Dingfeld moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 76. To your motion.
Thank you, Madam President. Before the Senate voted for Senate Bill 76 in February, yes, it was that long ago, colleagues, significant discussion and concern was raised over potential liabilities, both legal and financial, associated with the bill. All these centered around the potential scope of the unknowns if the dam removal process starts after 2020. Amendments made in the House Environment and Water Committee added explicit protections by providing further detail and clarity. The First Amendment, as you can read, was developed by a conversation between the industrial customers of Northwest Utilities, Governor Kulongowski's office, and PacifiCorp, with broad support from the Klamath Coalition. This new section simply lays out all of the activities that may be encompassed under the words cost of removing Klamath River dams, from removing concrete to securing permits to managing sediment. There have been concerns that sediment management would turn out to be expensive in spite of the most recent preliminary studies that suggest low toxic concerns and that the river will handle the sediment mostly on its own. The amendment clarifies that all activities associated with removing the dams will be covered under the Senate Bill 76 ratepayer cost cap as originally intended. Once amended, ICNU and the Farm Bureau no longer oppose the bill. The Second Amendment, colleagues, was supported by both the Klamath Coalition and PacifiCorp, and it ensures the intent of the bill, namely that taxpayers will not be automatically held liable for any cost overruns if dam removal goes forward and exceeds the projected $450 million, and that nothing in this bill or in this legislature's action was intended to create a cause of action to hold the state of Oregon or its taxpayers liable for any problems if dam removal goes forward and unexpected circumstances are encountered. The latter amendment further protects Oregon Oregonians against any unknowns as this project goes forward. I asked for your aye vote on concurrence of Senate Bill 76B.
Senator Atkinson.
Madam Chair, I wish to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please do so.
Madam Chair, my company consulted with PacifiCorp in 2007 and 2008. And to the bill?
To the bill.
For the record, I think the House amendments are ridiculous.
Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, to the bill. One of the primary purposes of this bill was to limit the liability for dam removal, and to that end, an amendment was drafted, as the good senator from Portland mentioned. It reads, Section 2 to 8 of this 2009 Act do not create a cause of action against the state of Oregon or against any of the officers, employees, or agents of the state. It may not be used as a basis for an assertion of liability on the part of the state of Oregon or any of its officers, employees, or agents of the state. We have asked legislative counsel several questions regarding the bill, particularly the amendment. The Senate Bill 76A precluded a party from bringing an action against the state of Oregon based on another law or any other law. The answer is no, colleagues. The answer is no. No protection against the actions brought under any other Oregon statute, and no protection against causes of action brought under federal laws such as the ESA or the Clean Water Act. A second question. The Senate Bill 76 cap the state of Oregon's liability for cost of removal of the Klamath River dams? The answer, no. It does not cap the liability. The bill caps the amount that can be recovered from Pacific Corps ratepayers. The bill does not cap the amount recoverable from the state taxpayers. A third question, could a final agreement be entered into without a passage of Senate Bill 76? The answer is yes. Senate Bill 76 is not required for the final agreement to be signed and entered into. We have asked former Attorney General James Brown to assess the amendments. May I have permission to read from printed material?
If there's no objection,
thank you, Madam
please
Chair.
Do so.
Quote, it would seem safe to observe that physical consequences on properties adjacent to an active river resulting from the action of dam removal are simply unknown. The intended purpose of the proposed amendments appear to be elimination of any claims against the state by a property owner for damages incurred by the water event resulting from the dam removal. If, under ultimate circumstances, the amendment would effectively eliminate any recourse to a property owner resulting from implementation of the intended scheme, the amendment would appear inconsistent with the remedies clause of Oregon Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, which declares in part that every man shall have remedy by due course of law for injury done him in his person, property, or reputation. In sum, the proposed amendment taken together with the measure would require actions posing a significant risk of injury to the interest of citizens while preventing any legal recourse against the state. Colleagues, in short, we cannot legislate liability for action out of existence. This bill creates liability, and the amendment does not remove it. Madam Chair, we also commissioned a poll regarding the removal of the Klamath River dams and the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement because we continually heard that there was no objection, and everyone in the Klamath Basin was proud to have this situation accomplished. Well, first of all, I want to point out the letter on your desk from Marcy Armstrong, who is the county supervisor in Siskiyou County. The Siskiyou County commissioners are unanimous in their opposition to dam removal, and I think that letter articulates her opposition much better than I can. The poll that we commissioned asked several questions. First, do you favor or oppose removing the four Pacific Corps-owned hydroelectric dams from the Klamath River? Madam Chair, 11% favored removal. 65% opposed removal. 65% opposed, 11% accepted the proposition. This poll was done on 300 registered voters in Klamath County. It was across party lines. It was computer randomly selected. It was across gender lines. It was across age lines. And interestingly, it was also done by zip code. Madam Chair, in Chilliken, the home of the Klamath tribes, the headquarters of the Klamath tribes, 70% of the respondents to the telephone survey voted against dam removal. 70% in the Klamath tribe's hometown. There were several other questions asked. The ones pertinent to this discussion. Do you believe that the closed and confidential meetings conducted in adoption of the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement and the agreement in principle between Pacific Corps and Department of Interior are good public policy, or are they detrimental to the public interest? Madam Chair, 73% said they were detrimental to the public interest. A whopping 5% thought it was good policy. That's 14-1, colleagues. As currently drafted, Senate Bill 76 does not limit the state of Oregon's liability for dam removal. For this reason, we should not concur in the House amendments, and instead we should return this bill to committee for further work. The allegation that this agreement in principle and dam removal and the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement is a popular and highly respected plan in the Klamath Basin is simply ludicrous. Madam Chair, I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. Our colleagues, I can remember the debate 2 years ago when we were talking about renewable energy, and this body did not seem to have the wisdom or the foresight or the knowledge to recognize hydropower as renewable energy, which makes us the only state in the nation that does not do that. I thought that was a travesty at the time, but it was a travesty driven by an agenda by those in this assembly who think that dams are bad and want to see them all removed. Colleagues, that puts the state of Oregon in considerable risk. I'd also like to point out that there is an agreement, and PacifiCorp is supportive of this, but the other side of that is the fact that they were told if they didn't, that 40% of their capacity would be taken away from them. So if you have a business and somebody says, you agree to this, or we're going to make your business unprofitable, in my mind, that doesn't come down to an agreement between willing participants. That comes down to an agreement with a gun held to your head. And colleagues, that's no agreement at all. The dams we are proposing to take out create enough energy to satisfy all the energy needs of Eugene Springfield, a rather significant population area. Hydropower is renewable, hydropower is clean, hydropower is cheap, and those who are opposing dams are doing so not in the best interest of the state of Oregon or the people of Oregon, but in the best interest of special interest groups. Colleagues, I am tired of special interest controlling this legislative assembly. We're supposed to be here to represent the people of Oregon. This bill is not in the best interest of the people of Oregon. I urge a no vote on concurrence.
Senator Farioli? Farioli, Senator?
Yes, Madam President. Thank you very much. Madam President, I just want to point out that on this issue, regardless of how people may feel about the future of the recovery of salmon in the Klamath Basin, of the four dams, the one in Oregon has fish passage, Madam Chairman, Madam President. The one in Oregon has fish passage, and it generates 30 megawatts of the world's most renewable, most carbon neutral energy on Earth. And Madam President, I'll point out further that if you ask the scientific community about whether Oregon will get to its goal of 25% new renewable by the year 2025, they will honestly tell you that we will not. And every step we take towards the removal of the Klamath River dams, particularly the Oregon Dam, which has fish passage and generates about 30 megawatts of renewable energy, every step we take toward reducing Oregon's clean, efficient, rain-fed energy system is a step further away from the goal this body set for Oregonians for renewability of resources. Removing the dam in Oregon is a wretchedly bad idea, and I will not help move one step forward on that agenda with my vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Madam President. I will be supporting concurrence on Senate Bill 76. Disappointed I couldn't support it over 4 months ago when it was on the floor and we had a sense of urgency. The bill had to move today. It was actually the following day that the agreement was reached on the ratepayer protection, which was my major issue, was protecting ratepayers. And they came to that agreement the next day. And as we all know now, the urgency of the bill was such that it sat for 4 months in the House of Representatives. But it is back now. I am confident that the ratepayers are protected as much as possible, and I'll be voting for concurrence.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Dingfelder, do you wish to close?
No, but I respectfully request a call to the Senate, please.
All right, Senator Dinkfeld has demanded a call of the Senate. She is joined by Senator Rosenbaum and Senator Burdick. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant at arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
Everyone subject to the call are present. Is that correct? Yes. All right. Everyone subject to the call are present. Those of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 76 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, President Courtney. Excused, Winters, absent, Boquist, voting no, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 19 ayes.
Senate Bill 76, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. All right. Senator Ferrioli.
Yes, Madam President, without objection to return to the issue order of remonstrance.
Without objection, please do so.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, on your desk you'll find an excerpt from the Wall Street Journal. Madam President, permission to read from printed material?
Please do so.
The Oregon Travail. Driving business away with billions in tax hikes. Quote, the Labor Department reported yesterday that Oregon's unemployment rate soared to 12.4% in May, the nation's second highest after Michigan's 14.1%. What to do? If you're the geniuses in the state legislature in Salem, you naturally raise taxes. Last week, the legislature approved a $2 billion tax hike on personal income and small businesses that haven't already left the state. The highest tax rate on income over $500,000 would climb to 11%, up from the already high 9%. Oregon will soon boast the second highest income tax rate in the nation, moving ahead of California and only slightly behind New York City. Corporations will pay a 7.9% tax on gross receipts, up from 6.6%, but that isn't the worst of it. Another revenue raiser will tax hospitals and private health insurance premium. That's a good way to encourage private employers to drop their health coverage for workers. In Oregon, as in so many states this year, lawmakers had to choose between reducing the growth of spending and raising taxes. No contest. So government spending will climb by about $2 billion, or almost 4%, which is on top of a 21% increase in the 2007-08 biennium budget. The sliver of good news is that taxpayer groups like Americans for Prosperity of Oregon are promising to put these taxes before the voters in a referendum this year or next. Since Salem's politicians seem intent on following Californians, maybe Oregon's voters will do the same and just say no. Thank you, Madam President.
All right, resuming under propositions and motions, the President has appointed the following conferees to House Bill 2604. Senator Prozanski, Senator Boquist, Senator Dingfelder. The President has appointed the following conferees to House Bill 3271, Senator Prozanski, Senator Boquist, Senator Bonamici. Recognize Senator Devlin. Senate Bill 976. All right, we'll stand at ease.
Obviously, we're having quorum problems because of full Ways and Means, which is working very hard to get bills out. I'm going to recess this Senate to 1 o'clock. You need to know that I may recess it after that as well. We're at that time, as you know, in a session where we're going to start rolling these recesses. We have a quorum problem because of who's in all the work that Ways and Means is doing. Therefore, I want to recess the Senate to 1 o'clock. I appreciate your patience as we attempt to bring our session to a conclusion. The Senate will now be in recess to 1 o'clock.